Today's Power Hour is brought to you by Monogram Housing. MonogramHousing.com is your source for places to stay while visiting South Bend. 2-, 3-, and 4-bedroom homes, always walking distance to Notre Dame's campus. You won't need to worry about parking passes or game day traffic. You can simply walk to and from the game like locals and avoid all the hassle. MonogramHousing.com prides themselves on quality homes, great local hospitality, and attention to detail. If you have a problem, owner Nino Berticelli and his crew are available personally to take care of your every need. In a Monogram house, there's no standing in line at some local restaurant after the game or waiting to get into a local watering hole. Just walk home after the game, cook out, and enjoy the rest of college football with your friends and family. Football games, basketball games, graduations, reunions, weddings, or for any event. Fully furnished homes available to rent all year round. Visit MonogramHousing.com for your rental needs in the Notre Dame area. Monogram Housing, your gold standard in South Bend hospitality. All right, folks, welcome everybody once again to Irish Sports Daily Power Hour. I am your host, Mike Frank. I'm here with Bill Reagan and Jamie Uyama. And, well, we got a lot to talk about, I guess. No game or anything, but 12-0, and you end up in the playoff and playing Clemson. Bill, we're going to start with you. Surprised that Notre Dame didn't get jumped? You surprised that they're in the position they're in? What were your overall thoughts on all this?
No, I would have been surprised if they did get jumped. Everything playing out the way it did, I think you would have had some remarkable performances. You know, you have Oklahoma in a dogfight with Texas. They end up winning. Credit to them, but it's not going to be something where you would jump somebody. You know, if they scored all those points and Texas got zero, you know, then you're going, whoa, this is a really good team now, you know, and maybe that possibility. But I didn't see that happening. Ohio State, you know, someone said it real well yesterday that Ohio State's game with Northwestern was a microcosm of their season, you know, jumping out, looking like the dominant team, then being in a struggle with Northwestern, and then, you know,
pulling away,
finishing up with kind of a blowout at the end. But they struggled for a while, and Northwestern did some good things versus Ohio State. So I didn't see Ohio State as a threat, and Georgia playing as well as they did, still with two losses. You know, you're not going to jump an undefeated team. So most of the people think the committee got it right. I tend to think they got it right. You know, and the challenge is all ahead now. You know, I mean, the other people who didn't get in the top four can say what they will, but they have themselves to blame.
Yeah. You know,
so.
Well, I think that's what it boils down to. While Notre Dame didn't look pretty all the time, they were pretty enough to win 12 games and beat everybody. And because of that, I think that's, you know, they absolutely deserve to be in. Jamie, we had a lot of matchups that we discussed or thought about, you know, Notre Dame versus Alabama or Clemson or Ohio State or Oklahoma, blah, blah, blah. And I think we all agreed last week that Oklahoma would be the preferred thing. But, you know, I've watched Clemson these last couple weeks, and I'm just not overly impressed. I mean, I think that they're a good football team, and I think that they have a higher ceiling than Notre Dame does as far as, you know, their level of talent. And I think that if they play their best, you know, their ceiling is probably higher than Notre Dame. But I don't see them as a sound, you know, flawless football team at this point. You know, I think their secondary is suspect. And if you can get some protection, you know, Notre Dame will have some opportunities to make some plays. What are your thoughts on Clemson?
Yeah, I think that's the key, Mike, is that Notre Dame has to be able to protect because, you know, their defense, you know, it's the number one ranked defense in the nation. You know, You can't argue with results and how good they've been, not just this year, but every year, right? Obviously, Brent Venables does a terrific job there. But I think if you look at it, a lot of that, the reason why it's so good is because of the front, right? They're, you know, they have outstanding, obviously their starters are outstanding. They have three guys that are potential first round picks on there. They're deep. They have guys that on their second team that could start for a lot of, you know, power five teams. But I think, you know, after that, I don't think their linebackers, like, I don't think you would trade, you know, their linebackers for Tavon Coney or Drew Tranquil. And I think Notre Dame has a better secondary than them as well too. Right. And I think, you know, they're definitely, you know, if you have, you give up 510 yards passing to South Carolina, you know, you give up 430 yards passing to Texas A&M, you know, you don't have a, there's, you don't have a flawless defense, right? There's different ways you can attack them. And I think it really is important that, you know, it really comes down to the protection, right? And I think if you look at it too, you know, if you look at, they haven't played a lot of great teams either. They haven't played, the best defense they played all year was Boston College. And Boston College, no one's, you know, writing articles about how great Boston College defense was. They, you know, they have some good players. Zach Allen's a good player, but I wouldn't put their defense anywhere close to the level of Notre Dame's, right? So, I think you look at what they've done and their the margins that they've beaten people by, you know, they average, you know, beating teams by over four touchdowns. So obviously they're doing something right. And they've been dominant against weaker competition, right? And that's the one thing that sticks out is that they haven't really played anyone that you would consider a great team, right? And it's, I think easily, you know, while I think this is the toughest game that Notre Dame is going to play all year and the most, by far the most talented team they've played, Notre Dame is also the most talented team that they've played this year, right? And I think people probably that are looking at it outside of a Notre Dame perspective probably aren't looking at it that way, and they're just thinking of how great Clemson is. And really, if you think about it, you know, the teams match up pretty well, and I think it's going to be a really good game.
Yeah. I look back at a couple of things Jamie hinted at there. Their defensive line being so strong, I think especially strong early. The thing I think is going to be critical for Notre Dame is to have a quick strike passing game early on while that defensive line is still fresh. I don't see Notre Dame running the ball real successfully early on. You've got to try. You've got to establish it as something you can come back to. But I think they're probably going to stuff the run early on in the ball game. But a quick passing game before that rush can even get to them. And I'm not talking about bubble screens on the perimeter either. They seem to do a pretty good job attacking bubble screens with their corners. But an inside quick passing game where that ball is what we call gun zero. So he's no steps, no retreat, catching the ball and getting rid of it. Early on, having success with it, establishing some kind of a drive so that these guys from Clemson are in a ball game and they're getting reps right off the bat, you know, a lot of reps. They're not three and out. I think that'll be a big part of the ball game. You know, poor Pitt shoots themselves in the foot real bad in the first quarter of that ball game and yet still is able to, in the first half,
hang with
to make
court.
A ball game out yeah, of it, yeah. to come back and make a ball game out of it. But that first two, three series could not have gone any worse for Pitt offensively and defensively. So getting off to a good start will be important for Notre Dame.
Yeah, it is. And I, you know, I like the idea of the short, you know, quick passing game. I think that would be something that they're going to need to look at and just keep them kind of on their toes a little bit. And, you know, I agree, though, Bill, you're going to have to run the football in this game. You're going to have to get some yards. You can't put it all on Ian Book. And you know, I'd hope that we'll see some misdirection in this game because Clemson is a very aggressive defense. You know, they tend to get after you a little bit, and I think that there's some over-pursuit stuff that you could hit them with hopefully a couple big plays. But I'm just, you know, defensively, I think that they're very good. But as Jamie pointed out, they haven't played anybody. And it's kind of like Alabama. You know, when you watched Alabama play Georgia, I think a lot of people thought, well, Alabama tattooed Georgia. And I knew Georgia was playing well at the time. But, you know, Alabama has looked flawless, but they hadn't played anybody. They hadn't played anybody that was really that good. And because of that, you know, maybe Texas A&M would be the best team that they faced. And they're not that good.
And it was a close ball game.
Yeah, and so I sat and I thought, well, you know, the same thing could very well be true of Clemson in this point, where they just haven't played anybody. They look good because they're just not really being challenged. And I do know this. Notre Dame's going to have to play better along the offensive line in this game, and they're also going to have to play better along the defensive line in this game. I don't think that either side has played particularly well the last couple games, and because of that, you know, I think that that's where people are saying, well, you know, Notre Dame doesn't belong. But I think that they will play better. I think guys have been banged up, and they'll get their energy back, and that's what we're going to see. I just have a feeling. I'm not making a prediction Notre Dame's going to win at this point. You know, I want to do a little more research, but
yeah, I want to watch the South Carolina game. How did they get 600 yards passing?
Just threw it like crazy.
I got to see that.
And the surprising thing was, Bill, you know, they did a really good job in pass protection, didn't they, Jamie?
Yeah, they did. And I think that was huge because, they threw the ball down the field quite a bit, too.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't like dink and dunk. They had, you know, you had to protect long enough for him to get the ball off, and there were a lot of big plays. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's one of the things, too, is that South Carolina, they had a pretty good, you know, they have a pretty good passing game, but it's not like they, you know, I wouldn't put, you know, their quarterback, I wouldn't put him on this. Ian Book, I think, is a better quarterback than their guy. So I think it's going to be interesting. You know, a healthy Ian Book against this group, I think, you know, he's by far the best quarterback that they're going to have played, right? And, you know, even then, if you look at, you know, Notre Dame, they maybe don't have the burners at receiver. They don't have a Deebo Samuel, you know, a guy who's kind of make a big play out of nothing type of guy that South Carolina has, but they have those bigger receivers that, you know, you just don't see a lot of. Like, I mean, it's one thing to go up against a guy who's 6'4", 210, but to go up against a guy who's 6'4", 230, you know, and Notre Dame has two of them, right? So I think, you know, there's different kind of matchups that people really don't kind of take into account when they're all thinking about this. And I know, you know, as ESPN and those guys, as they kind of dive deeper into it, they're going to, you know, talk about more about these things. But it's easy to just to get caught up in, you know, it's Clemson and, you know, they've earned the right to be, you know, one of the best, you know, considered like right up there with Alabama as, you know, 1A, I guess, in terms of a power program in the country. But, you know, I don't think Notre Dame's going to come into this game where they're going to get beat by just being intimidated right away. I think Notre Dame's, you know, going to step up to the challenge here. And I think that, I think if you look at recent games when Notre Dame has played some of these teams where every, you know, the analysts have said that Notre Dame is, oh, they have a lot more talent than them. Notre Dame has come to play in each one of those games.
Yeah. Now, flip the ball, or flip the side of the ball over to the offense and Clemson's offense. You know, Lawrence certainly has the physical tools to throw everything. I mean, he's just a, man, what a freak, you know, athlete as far as that goes. But, again, you know, I just don't think he's been pressured a tremendous amount. I don't think that they've faced anybody who has a great pass rush. And that, I think, is going to be the real interesting cat and mouse game, is can you get him a little uncomfortable? I think that their offensive line is pretty solid. I wouldn't say it's great, but I think it's pretty solid. But, you know, Notre Dame is going to have to get after Lawrence, and I think if you can just make him a little uncomfortable – you're going to have a chance. And, you know, that's, again, you know, Bill, you can talk about this. It's one thing to, you know, sit there and watch it on film and go through, you know, all your progressions and stuff where you don't have to really worry about pressure. But boy, when it really is something you have to deal with, like, gosh, even Ian Book against USC, when you have that much pressure in your face, it's much more difficult than watching it on film.
Well, and, you know, from what I've observed, and I know I haven't watched Clemson a lot. I saw him early on against Texas A&M, and I watched their game versus Pitt. He has been so successful in their RPO game, and generally in the RPO game, you're not going to a second progression. You know, you're hitting your first guy, and he's been very good at doing that. He has not had to hold the ball. So I think a key is pressure coming from coverage. You know, we talk about good coverage makes good pressure and good pressure makes good coverage. Well, I think in this case, if Notre Dame can supply the coverage, they're going to get pressure on him. If they can take away his number one read, that'll be telling to me, because I saw hints of this versus Pitt where he had to go to a second receiver and he was a little off balance, and all of a sudden he didn't look like he was making a good decision, you know? So I think if they can force him into some bad decisions, getting pressure because of good coverage, that could be huge for Notre Dame.
Your thoughts on it, Jamie?
Yeah, I think what's interesting is that, you know, the best pass rush they faced this year was Syracuse, and, you know, he got knocked out, pretty early in that game. But, you know, before he got knocked out, he wasn't really doing that well. Fair enough, it was his first start as the guy. But, you know, Clemson, everyone acts like, you know, Clemson, like Syracuse just took over at that point. But Syracuse was winning the game when Lawrence got knocked out. So I think, you know, the way their offensive line handled Syracuse's defensive line, which, you know, definitely has some players on it. You know, they definitely got some pressure, you know, there. And I think that was one of the reasons why it was a close game, in addition to, obviously, they were playing a quarterback who was, you know, their backup. But I think, you know, that would have been really interesting, because I think that was the only game where they played a defensive line that kind of had an edge over their offensive line, at least in terms of pass rush in that game. So I don't know. I think it is going to be interesting at how he handles that. And, you know, what Bill said about, you know, about him, you know, in the RPO game. And I think that's just, you know, really important for them, is that, you know, he's accurate and, you know, he gets the ball out quickly and he has an arm. He can make every throw. And I mean, he's terrific on that first read, you know, making that throw. And I think one of the things that, you know, if you can take that away and you're confusing him a little bit, you're making it a little bit more difficult for him. And I think if you look at his numbers comparatively on like first down compared to third and long, you know, and I know everyone kind of, you would think their numbers go down in third and long, but, you know, he's under a 50% completion guy on third and long. And when you consider how good he is on every other down and how well he's done, I think that's significant, right? So, you know, they're going to have to get him into situations. They're going to have to get pressure on him to affect the game, because they have so many weapons out there that can really just, you know, if he can get the ball out quickly to them and he can just put the ball up to some of those receivers, you know, it's going to be, I mean, they're going to make plays.
All right. Now it's going to be, it will be interesting to see how well Notre Dame can pressure Lawrence and whether he can actually handle it. I don't think that he's the type of guy like, you know, like Book, I think, handles it very, very well. I think he'll get there. But Book, I think, because of his experience in high school and having pressure so much, you know, even on his highlight film, if you watch it, you're like, wow, this kid, you know, really dealt with a lot of pressure. I just think that that's a huge thing. If you've never done it, and you know, and it was interesting, I remember, and I mentioned this before, I think, but, you know, when you'd watch Jimmy Clausen on film, I would sit there and I'd say, gosh, this guy is amazing, but nobody would get within 5 yards of him, you know, not anywhere near him. And sure enough, when he gets to Notre Dame, he can't hand, he has no pocket presence because he's never had to deal with that before in his life. So it'll be interesting. I think Lawrence, you know, is a tremendous talent, no question. I think he'll get better, but I just would really like to see Notre Dame be aggressive on this and come after him and make him make some plays. You know, I think if they, you can do that, you're going to have a good chance to win this game. Now, there's, you know, Bill, this is an interesting thing too. You know, we've heard about Chip Long, you know, potentially being up for various jobs. You know, we know that Brian Polian interviewed at Bowling Green. Who knows who else is out there being contacted by these schools. Any cause for concern if you're a head coach with this, going into this? Do you take a more active role in trying to set this up? What are your thoughts on that, Bill?
Well, I think, first of all, this is something you always have to be thinking ahead about. You know, okay, if we get through the season, we go to a bowl, or we get in the playoffs, there's going to be a period of time where, if we're successful, some of our assistant coaches are going to be interviewed for jobs, and this just comes with the territory, and it's one of the good things about being a winning program that just comes with the territory. So I think you've always got to have that short list for every coaching position that you have, and not ever be surprised, and you know, so that you've always got an immediate place to go. Not that you can hire them to help you out now. And that's probably the trickier thing, because we've seen coaches both. You know, I'm kind of praying that Brent Venerables gets a head coaching job. You know, and that
can't believe he hasn't yet. What more does this guy got to do?
You know, and in my mind, he is where he belongs. I think he's the top one or two defensive coordinators in the country. And the most dangerous person of their defense at Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
It take him away. So I'd love to see him be conflicted with a job offer. But, you know, how does that individual handle it? I'm not sure that it's not always up to them. You know, it could be, hey, we need you now, or you're not going to get the offer. You know,
yeah.
And in some cases, if they want to coach bad enough, and the coach is very committed to the program he's in at the current time, trying to finish out that season, they'll say, okay, you know, you can stay, but you know, we're gonna need you right after that. Or then you have sometimes the double duty thing, where a coach is trying to recruit for his new school while coaching his old school, and that's tough. I mean, that's really, really hard, and you know, it's just very, very conflicting for a coach to be in that situation. So, you know, as a head coach, you'd hope to stay status quo and keep everything stable. But I think you got to be ready for if something changes.
Yeah. I don't think Chip Long will get a job before then. You never know. You just don't know how all these dominoes fall. Yeah.
And
you
that's
know?
The other thing.
Yeah.
You know, is he really ready for a head coaching
yeah.
job?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting. And that's kind of my next topic here is, you know, when this was announced, I sat there and went, boy, okay, Chip Long versus Brent Venables, you know, and I'm like, well, you know, is that the matchup you really want? And then immediately what came to my mind was Chip Long versus Don Brown, and Chip Long did a damn fine job against Don Brown, who everybody says is this genius defensive coordinator. So, you know, when you look at Notre Dame's coaching experience, they're short on experience. There's no doubt about it. But they've gone against some pretty good coaches, you know, so far. And I think that they've done a surprising job, you know, in their game plans and what they've done. And so maybe the divide isn't as big as you think it is. And I think, Bill, if you have time, you know, the nice thing is, you know, Mike Elko has played, you know, Clemson, he knows a lot about it. He also knows a lot about Alabama. So I think that that will help Clark Lee in that regard. You know, they're going to share notes and talk to each other. And so I think that that's going to help in that regard. But, you know, I'm just a little bit more nervous about Chip Long going against Venables with that great defensive line. And my biggest concern would be I'm just not sure Notre Dame's offensive line can hold up against that defensive line. Certainly not if they've played the way they played the last couple games. Jamie, that's my biggest concern here, you know, going into this game. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's definitely the biggest concern for most people. And I think that, you know, with the way that, you know, I think when you look back to how Notre Dame played when they played them in 2015, and I know the team, you know, the personnel is completely different then, but I mean, it was a similar situation where they had a great defensive line and they basically took away the run with what they could do with their front, right? And especially what their ends did against Notre Dame's tight ends, they dominated them, right? And I think that's, you know, so if they make it a one-dimensional game and Notre Dame has to throw all the time, it's really going to be huge how they can protect. And I think so that in that sense too, I think it helps that, you know, even though it's obviously a different staff now, and Chip Long is obviously that was, you know, Mike Denbrock and Mike Samford there, you know, with Brian Kelly. But the fact that Brian Kelly, obviously, I mean, there is definitely things to be learned from that game and what they did to adjust in that game. And they were actually very successful in the second half and moved the ball really, really well through the air. And I think, you know, so they at least kind of have some a little bit of experience, you know, kind of dealing with that. And like as Kelly does, I mean, not in particular the players. So I think it's, you know, that I think can only help them, you know, going forward. But I mean, let's be honest, you can't get away with, you know, just getting, you know, your butt kicked up front all day long. And I think, you know, that was one of the things with against Michigan is they knew they were going to get pass rush. And they did enough to beat it, you know, and that was different because that was obviously Brandon Wimbush, and they used some different quarterback run game, and they told him to take off more. So it'll be interesting to see if they say, you know, Ian Book, you know, we're going to need you to run, like, you know, first read's not there. We're going to need you to run on some of these plays, because I think, you know, if you hang in there too long, like, I mean, it's not going to be good against this defense.
One of the things that's a little interesting is Notre Dame's offensive tackles have struggled at times with those speed rushers, those fast, physical, kind of lean defensive ends or outside linebackers coming upfield with the ability to change and go inside the tackle as well. These guys at Clemson are a little bigger. You know, all four of them are bigger physical guys. And maybe lacking the quickness that some of those speed rushers had. You know, there's certainly not a Chase Winovich on the defensive line for Clemson. And it might actually help the lineman out for Notre Dame that they'd rather play a bigger physical guy and take him on than those fast guys that make them feel slow.
I think their interior guys are quick. So their interior guys, Notre Dame's interior guys, are going to have to play well. But, yeah, you know, that's a good point. I don't think they have just a guy that's got tremendous burst and bend, you know, that can get around an offensive tackle. I think that they got some great players. There's no question. But it's just not a dominant pass rusher that I've seen. They seem to do their damage with one of those guys getting in there and then the entire pocket collapsing. Mm-hmm. And kind of reminds me of, you know, some of the old Nebraska teams, you know, when they had the two Peter brothers up front and they were just absolutely destroying the middle of the field. Then you had Grant Wistrom on the outside, who was a much better pass rusher than I think anybody they have. But
so for the majority of the year, what I observed out of Notre Dame's offensive line dealing with pass rush is that the interior guys are pretty much doing their job because they're responsible for the depth of the pocket. Tackles are responsible for the width of the pocket. And when you saw the pocket collapsing, oftentimes it was the width of the pocket that was collapsing in on the quarterback where the tackles were struggling with those outside rushers. So I'm hoping that, you know, I'm right on that those interior three guys do a good job maintaining the depth of the pocket. You know, there was a guy who occasionally got beat, boom, right off the bat, got his hand slapped down or something. But generally, they've done a good job maintaining the depth of the pocket. And that's Clemson's forte, too. You know, bull rushing, getting upfield, and overpowering you.
Last topic, guys. If they were to get by Clemson, after watching the games this past weekend, do you feel better about their chances against an Alabama and Oklahoma, Bill?
So either one of those teams?
Well, yeah, just do you think they got a shot at Alabama? Do you think they got a shot at Oklahoma?
You know, the game versus Georgia, I think, gives you hope. If Alabama would have blown Georgia out, then you say, ooh, boy.
Yeah.
It's just win your first game and then just go home, you know. But it was a struggle. It was a great game. So Bama shows some flaws. Tua showed some flaws.
Kirby Smart showed some flaws.
Yeah, well, why? Why? I still ask why.
I just can't believe that.
Fake
go ahead.
Punt, midfield. Anyway, yeah, again, another topic. But and Oklahoma is different now. Oklahoma is going to give Alabama huge problems offensively. So it's going to be a score fest to see who comes out of that one. If it were to be Oklahoma, I like Notre Dame's matching up with Oklahoma. You know, there's still there are going to be challenges there with Oklahoma's offense, but I think if Notre Dame plays enough defense, you know, which they haven't seen much of, they will against Alabama. But you know, it could level the playing field a little.
All right, Jimmy, your final thoughts on that?
Well, I certainly think that, you know, I feel the same kind of way that I did already about Oklahoma. Obviously, they have a fantastic offense, and Kyler Murray is a fantastic player, but I just think Notre Dame, they're a very beatable team, and they still have a ton of problems on defense. You know, I think it would be a good game, but I think, you know, Notre Dame is very capable of beating them. I think, yeah, the game, the Georgia-Alabama game did give everyone kind of a little bit of glimmer of hope against Alabama, but I think key to that game, obviously, was Tua being hurt. And, you know, the fact that he couldn't run, you know, that I think that changed a lot of things because I think that's part of the reason why he hung in the pocket so long and was kept looking for things down the field was that a lot of times he would have taken off. There was a lot of coverage sacks in that game. And I think, you know, a lot of the times, you know, watching him in previous games, even when he had the kind of banged up knee, he would have ran on those plays. But I don't think he could in this particular game. So I think if, you know, you're playing a banged up Tua, then I think you got a much better shot than against a healthy Tua.
One thing I will say about Tua, though, is, and I think that Danielson mentioned it many times, and rightfully so, that kid takes a lot of chances. And if you can force him into some dumb decisions, which it looks like you can, you know, you got a chance. And I think that's why Georgia had a chance, was they forced him into some dumb decisions. And, you know, again, like you said, Jamie, he was hurt, so there some of his game was limited. But, you know, there were plenty of plays where he just stood there in the pocket and, you know, because of pressure or whatever, made some bad decisions and certainly some bad throws. So, you know, I'm not saying that they'll have a chance or they will beat him. I do feel a little bit better about it just because it showed Tua is human. But more importantly, I just wasn't that impressed with Bama's defense in that game. You know, I thought Frohm did a really nice job until the second half. You know, kind of picking them apart, and you know they just didn't look like the same Bama defenses we've seen. Of course, 92. What the hell's his name? I forget. That guy's a tremendous player on, you know, their interior defensive line. Yeah, I mean he's probably the best they've had, and I don't even know how long. But overall, I just didn't think that they were quite as up to snuff as they have been in the past. don't need it when you got as good an offense as they have. But, you know, if you can kind of slow some stuff down, I think they'll have a chance. But that's putting the cart before the horse, of course. And, you know, you got to focus on Clemson. Before we get going, I wanted to mention once again, visit our sponsor at Monogram Housing. Also, Nino is licensed to sell real estate here and in Indy. He's got both, realtor businesses going right now. So he started a new website, which is kind of a clever title, I thought. It's ninoismyhomeboy.com. I thought that was a great website for him. So if you're thinking about buying a home in South Bend or Indianapolis, give him a call or find him at ninoisahomeboy.com or Monogram Housing. That's going to be it, folks. We'll talk more about Clemson in the coming weeks before the game. Once we kind of find a little bit more about them, we'll also have a Clemson insider on talking to him as well about what to expect. So that's going to be it. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week on Power Hour.